Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by blogtyrant.com. They've been supporting us for the last couple of weeks. So if you want more eyes on your blog, go check out blogtyrant.com. Adam Knox, what's your favorite thing about Blog Tyrant?
The word tyrant. I'm a big fan of dictators, and I wish that Stalin had had a blog, because then we would have gotten a little bit more of an insight into the man.
Yeah, I got to say, they're really not fucking around with the name, are they?
Yeah, they want to be the best. They
want to be at all costs.
The very best.
I hope that from next week we get sponsored by Blog Overlord.
I think that
outranks Tyrant, doesn't it?
I'm going to start one called Blog Uprising, and we're going to have such high ideals, but then ultimately the same crooked people are going to get inside of the power structure,
okay,
and it'll become Blog Tyrant again, just under a different skin.
I'm going to start a blog called LogTyrant.com. It's about the things Adam Knox drops in my toilet.
Ah, I deliberately didn't shit here. I don't know if this is worth saying in a promo.
Not just a promo, just full stop.
Yeah. Well, I deliberately didn't shit here because I didn't want you to judge me. And now you're still making jokes about me, so I should have just taken the shit.
Thank you to blogtyrant.com.
Enjoy this episode. Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games. It's hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. You've got myself, Tommy Dasilo, sitting to my left. You've also got a very kind one in the form... Let me say it.
Well, you know what? Weirdly, I thought you weren't going to take 20 minutes.
I woke up this morning and I thought, you know what I'd love to do today? I'd love to say the name Adam Knox.
Well, fucking, you don't get the chance, buddy. I got real bad hay fever today.
That's why I'm trying to help you out. You can barely talk over there.
Yeah.
Your throat's seized up.
My eyes are stinging. That's the worst part. My knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit up a sweater already.
We've also got, to my right, he's in shorts. Now, I don't know if the climate really is dictating that it's appropriate for shorts.
Hey, I'm on island time, baby.
It's Ben Vanell.
Yes. Hey, boys. It's good to be here again. It's good to be back. It's good to be alive. The world hasn't quite ended yet. Election reference.
Will
there.
That be over by the time this goes up?
Yes.
The election?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What a day. So we should say hello. A hello to our... I believe we might have some new listeners joining us.
Oh, yeah.
Through our little, what is it? It's a bit of a foster program, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a bit of the World Vision sponsorship of podcasts.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We're in cahoots. We got into bed with the boys over at the Weekly Planet.
Yeah, with our good friend Nick Mason. Mm-hmm. He invited us under the covers.
He brought us in, and then James as well was...
Yep.
Do I get to call him that, or do we have to take it out? I don't know how secretive he is.
I've never met James. I've been
Neither
on that
have
show.
I, yeah.
I've he, been on that show, but it was because
Well,
James
I know
was
that
away.
He pretends he's a goat or something.
No. He refers to himself as James on his show.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need to take that bit out. Well, I don't, it's like a spy because I've never met him, right?
Yeah.
But, like, now he's helped me out a little bit. So it's like, you know, when a spy would do that.
It's like when a spy would help you out.
No, you know what I mean? Where you'd hear.
Bond.
What's a good spy code name? The Red Velvet
007
Eagle. He's left you a little box of guns under the stairs, you know,
okay,
but you'd never meet them.
Oh, you're thinking about like a Metal Gear Solid situation.
Like a Mission Impossible sort of thing. And then they are the one who ends up betraying you at the end of it.
So what you're saying is...
I'm wary of him.
Okay.
So, yeah, for context for people that don't know what we're yammering on about, those guys, they're playing little 30-second ads for our show in their show.
Yeah.
To try and help build us up. Very kind of them.
I believe they included a clip from our the Times 50 Best Games.
Oh, did they? Us arming and ahhing, trying to work out what year we were
all
born?
Yeah, yeah. So if you heard that and you've come to this... welcome. Prepare to be disappointed.
Yeah. So thanks for taking a punt and coming over. We are all the three of us personal real life friends with Nick Mason.
Yes.
So If you'd like any of his personal details or gossip about him,
credit
please,
card numbers,
please hit us
you
up. We we can tell you anything you want to know. There's Reddits about Nick Mason.
Yeah,
I believe you pointed me to one of them. People speculating about what he does in his private life. So if you've come over from the Weekly Planet, there's no need to get on the Reddit anymore. Just hit us up direct. Yeah. We'll tell you everything you need to know about Mason.
I'm going
to
tell you guys right now. If you want to find Nick Mason, here's a little secret. Go to any comedy gig in Melbourne.
Yeah.
He will be there.
Especially Catfish every Tuesday. He's there.
Yeah, you've got to pay to get in, but it's worth it.
So what are we going to talk about this week? We're going to talk about... Well, let's start with this. Let's talk about PAX.
Yeah.
PAX was on in Melbourne over the weekend. Now... We're all involved in various different capacities. Adam, you did a stand-up gig there on Friday.
On the Friday night.
I went down and did... I got asked at the last minute to do some Vox Pops for Triple J. Mm-hmm. They wanted to cover it.
Yep.
Now, Ben, we applied to get coverage through this program.
Yes.
And we got knocked back.
Yes.
Which you were upset about.
Yes.
Then friend of the show, Michael Hing,
yes.
said that he could get us passes.
Correct.
You put your hand up and he never got back to you.
Yeah,
and you were quite incensed about that. Finally, he came through and got you a pass.
Yeah.
You then proceed to not go.
It was a power move. I couldn't go.
And when I questioned you about this last night, I was like, so you just didn't end up going? And he's like, oh, well, you guys are there. I thought you'll talk about it. That's enough.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I had a... So I couldn't go on the Saturday because we were rehearsing our Chimp Cop show.
Here come the fucking excuses.
And then the Sunday... I just spent the day with my girlfriend.
Take her to PAX.
So, yeah, Tommy, you and I went to PAX.
Yeah, okay, so let's... So you... Yeah, I was invited to do this and was unable to because I was at my dad's 70th birthday.
How was it?
It was good. It was very stressful, but it was good.
Yeah. We couldn't find him for 3 hours.
You did this stand-up gig that was that Michael Hing organised, and it was billed as comedians that play games or into sort of nerd stuff.
Yeah. Mm.
And it was going to be in front of an audience that's going to get all of your niche references.
Exactly.
So it was an opportunity to kind of really bust out some of that stuff that you probably don't really get an opportunity to do at your regular pub gigs.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
I thought the direction you were going with this was like, so, what jokes did you tell that were very different from you?
Well, okay, so I do know that in the lead up to it, and this is the thing, I was disappointed to not be able to do it because I've thought for ages that that would be a really fun thing to do.
And it was. Let me just say to anyone who came and everything, I met a guy named James who listens to the show, so hey, mate.
James. From the Weekly Planet?
No.
How would you know? He's a spy.
Oh, shit.
Was it a goat talking to you?
He tried to eat a part of my shirt. I don't know if... there was a goat who jumped my parents' fence the other day, by the way.
Wow, this goes deep.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It was just a neighbor's goat. Anyway,
Oh, actually, let's veer off quickly and talk about this. We have a sponsor coming up.
Yes.
In coming weeks.
Yes.
We won't reveal them yet, but they want to send us their product.
This we talked about this last night.
Yeah,
didn't we, Tommy?
They want to send us their product.
Yeah,
as part of the sponsorship,
so that we can get some free stuff.
We can talk about it.
Yeah,
and we got asked
very
for
kind.
An address. Knox fires off the address of his parents' house in fucking Mount Eliza.
I thought that they meant they wanted to send a version of this product to each of us. Not just one.
So
or three
but
of us
then
to
why
look
not
at.
Give your home address?
Because
why are you
I'm
sending
not
it
usually
to your parents' house?
Because the letterbox there, you can't put anything in, and I'm often not home there, and I don't want to have to go to the post office. To
so
pick
you'd
it up.
Rather travel 2 hours to your fucking parents' house?
Yeah, because I go there sometimes anyway. I go see my parents.
You walk past a post office sometimes anyway. You moron.
I know, but then I have
well,
to wait in a line potentially. If not, I can just I can just hang out there for a little
well,
bit.
Well, I mean, here's the other thing. I mean,
my
I know
default post. Postal address for packages.
I know we said we weren't going to reveal them, but the other side of this is that the company that's sponsoring us is a dildo manufacturer. So I don't know why you would want that to turn up at your parents' house.
Because they said they'd be discreet about the packaging and I trusted them.
That would be great. That would be amazing. Like, yeah, any sex toy company, like they have to be discreet in the packaging. But if like you just get this, it's like obviously a giant cock. It's packed really tight.
I've gotten something from Normal Business Office. It's in the shape of a dick. Is that a stapler?
It's
what
a paperweight.
It's like there's all this text all over the package going out of its way to try and make you think that it's not a sex toy. But then it's just shrink wrapped. It's very obviously a giant dick.
See the fake veins through the paper.
It's just wrapped in cellophane.
Okay, so so you're on at this gig at PAX. I was very disappointed to not have to do it, but I will say I did feel a pang of relief every time I talked to you.
Yeah.
And same with Demi Lardner, who I don't think has ever been on this show or listens to it. But you both had the same approach to the gig where you were having to come up with stuff untested, you know, brand new.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of the idea is like, oh, you can do all this stuff you've always wanted to do. Wouldn't it be great? But then I have to write stuff fresh off.
More than that, so I thought it was that, I was having trouble writing stuff for it.
Yeah.
Which I think I realized afterwards wasn't so much the case as I've conditioned myself not to talk so much about that sort of shit.
Right.
To anyone that's not really like through the medium of this podcast or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because,
but the other thing is, even in your normal stand up, you haven't written a new joke in about 6 years.
like five.
I think that, yeah, you could tell when, because I watched the live stream from home.
Yeah.
And you could tell when you were on Knox that you
You're such a piece of shit. You don't even go down and support your friend at the gig. You sat here watching the live stream.
You're not
that
busy.
Kills me.
Yeah. Every time you started to talk about video games, you would stop and be like, I'm so glad I can talk about this. Like, you're cheering for this. I feel so self-conscious about talking about this in any other medium.
Yeah, I do. Because the majority of people either actively don't give a shit passively don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As in, like, they'll just tune out or actively go, oh, fuck you, shut up.
Yeah.
And it, especially in stand-up, because it's such a people-pleasing thing.
Yeah.
Right down the bottom of it, it felt very unnatural to do.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I actually have a routine about a video game.
You've made
from
me
a
tune
show
out here. I've tuned out.
From a couple of years ago that I could have done. I had a bit in a show about playing Super Mario 64 for the first time at a video store and not wanting to give up my position on the console because there was a big line behind me and really needing to piss, and I pissed my pants in service of playing Super Mario 64.
Yeah, totally.
So that's how you sneak in video game references to a normal audience. You make it about something universal like urine, which we all can relate to.
Yeah.
Baby, I've peed. I know what you're talking about and I know how it feels.
What did you do? Give us one of your jokes.
This isn't going to be delivered in the format of a joke, but there was a joke about the Kama Sutra. If it would have been done now, would have been Overwatch characters fucking each other.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's great.
You know? Yeah. But that only makes sense if you know what Overwatch is and you know a level below that heaps of people draw a lot of porn about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and that would have gone great, right?
Everything did. It was a great, time.
Well, so here's the thing. I heard by the time the gig filled up, there were like 700 people there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was really fun.
Amazing.
Well, I guess maybe we have some new listeners from that Hing did mention that you hosted this podcast.
I know. I should have mentioned it again at the end as well. I thought afterwards.
In many ways, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been helpful if I'd have done that or if the other guy from the podcast had have even been there.
Oh,
maybe.
I mentioned it on the ABC on Monday, and you are not meant to promote things on there. Right. I made it my business to insert
surely
references
that isn't like
as much
a
as possible.
Government mandated thing.
Triple J, they are. I don't know what. They're very weird about you. Like, you can go. I think you can go, oh, you're on to. You're doing a show, but you can't give out the exact link for it's something weird.
Ticket prices and stuff
like that
was definitely on community stuff.
Which I just do anyway and play dumb.
Yeah.
And you always see them looking. It's like when
you know what? People buy it for some reason.
It's like when you mention a product. You know, you're not meant to mention a product.
I love it. Get
in there and start talking about Fanta. It's great.
Yeah, unless you drop the C-bomb. Coca-Cola. No, but unless you like swear, they're not going to dump.
Unless you drop the C-bomb, come to my show. It costs this much.
Yeah.
you had a good gig. You had a good time.
Yeah, it was really fun in there. Then afterwards, I found out that it was being streamed on Twitch.
So they stream the entire gig live on Twitch.
Well, they stream all of the panels, I think.
Right, okay.
I think so.
So little Beavenel, he's sitting in his little seat that he's sitting in right now in those shorts.
Yes.
Jack and his little dick over his friends doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Who else was on the gig? It was you, Bart Freeband.
Ben Russell. He's been on the show. Yep. Demi's been on the show. Daniel Walker. A guy from Sydney whose name I've forgotten. Sorry if you're listening to this. And
oh, Carlo?
Yes.
Frida Kahlo.
Yes, Frida Kahlo was there. And That might have been... Oh, Dave Callan as well.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. So, yeah, you're all at the gig, and now you don't know that it's being streamed.
Yeah.
And part of that stream is there's a there's a comments box.
The Twitch comments box, yeah. Which is
and
one
so,
of the...
So
the more brutal.
So Ben Vanel, not only does he not go to PAX after pissing and moaning about not getting a pass.
Yes.
Not only does he not go and support his friend's gig, mm-hmm. he's then in a group chat that we're in, screenshotting while Knox is on stage all the comments that people are saying and posting them in the group chat.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the best comments about Knox? Have you watched it back and seen the comments?
Oh, that's what I did the second I got home. I can't not. If you know that there's someone who's written a bunch of fucking comments about you, what are you going to pretend
all read
that
our
you
own
don't
reviews,
give a shit?
Right? We all read our own reviews.
Even George Clooney probably does.
Yeah.
You know? And as
the ultimate prank.
Yeah. So, they weren't that bad. Like, I don't actually ever feel bad about stuff people write about me
often.
The
bits that I saw, it was a lot of, like, just very generic, like, nerd comments of people sitting at home going, there's no funny comedians in Australia.
It's yeah,
well, that's
that
not
sort
specific
of...
about you. That's they would say that about literally whatever.
Oh, and there's one guy, you know, there's the one guy who posts 10 times going, like, saying stuff I don't even want to say here, but, like, obviously just, like... you're an asshole sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That's just, but then there are a couple of ones where it's like, hey, he probably talks a bit too quick. And I'm like, oh, thanks. Yeah, that's actually really helpful advice. I got a little excited in the theater.
Yeah.
And so I did a lot of people saying I look like Bob Ross. A lot. One.
Oh, yeah, that painting dude.
With
yeah.
big
yeah,
hair.
Yeah,
I just
see
got big
that.
Hair.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I like it. You, before the gig, you went and walked around.
Yeah, on Friday I had
there.
a bit of a look around.
Yeah. I got to say, maybe it's not that surprising. It seemed almost like... identical to how it looked and felt and everything when we were there.
Yeah, totally.
Last year.
Right.
And with even the exception being, to me, that almost every game that was being like demoed there was coming out pretty soon.
Yeah.
Last year or
this year?
Well, that happened last year.
Well, but even then, there was some stuff that was at least from like April or May the next year, you know? So that was coming out in 6 months.
I mean, they had like Uncharted... Four, which was, you know, what was that? When did that come out?
That
was in May or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah
exactly.
So that,
they had stuff on the next year.
True.
This, I'm literally saying nothing from 2017 that I saw.
Well, when's Horizon out?
January or something.
Well,
actually.
That's
2017, I think.
They did have that.
That was a big one. Yeah, so I...
But otherwise, it was like Dead Rising, Final Fantasy, all this stuff that's coming out this year.
So I was there to do... Triple J asked me to go and do Vox Pops to cover it for them. And initially they wanted me to go in and roast nerds on the floor, which I got there and just felt like, oh, that just feels really uncool.
Yep.
So I sort of changed what I was doing. And so I don't know, like I kind of was walking around just looking. So doing Vox Pops is really hard because you have to like keep it. It's really hard to like pick who you think will want to do it and be good at doing it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what I did was I actually spent a lot of time hanging out at the Just Dance 2017 stage.
Oh, yeah, you get a lot of...
Where people get up and they
extroverted
play.
People.
Yeah,
and so
yeah,
you go,
right,
well, if you're going to be cool with doing that, you're probably going to be cool with being interviewed on the radio.
Yeah.
Great.
And also, I kept going back there. I like watching just normal people get up and do dances on that stage.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I liked
it. You should come to my auntie's wedding in a week.
Why?
You've met her before. She invited you. I just forgot to ask you until...
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You invited me as your plus one?
No.
Okay.
Plus two.
I'm just saying, turn up and see if you get in. No, my auntie's not getting married. There's just people who dance at auntie's weddings, and I wasn't expecting to have to go into it this much.
It's something that if I, like, in real life, I'd hate just at a club.
Yeah.
I'd stop making a fucking...
That's the thing. I am not a huge... I've never played one of those dancing games.
Neither have I.
Because I do not... I dance about twice a year.
Yeah, when we get you
times
drunk enough.
When some cowboy's shooting at my feet, you know, like when I have to.
Well, like a lot of people... Like, so, on the screen, it shows you the move that you're meant to be doing.
Yeah.
And they're pretty complex, like, you know, elaborate dance moves.
Yeah.
But the way that it's registering it is people are just holding a Wii remote, which is not known for its, you know,
measuring what your legs are doing.
Like, I don't know. But, yeah, so that was cool. I did really enjoy watching that. But I didn't really... I was just so focused on trying... Because everyone's, like, either... Everyone's kind of like in transit at those things.
Yeah.
So it's rare that you see someone just kind of standing around where you go, Oh, they'd be good. Like, everyone's kind of on their way to something.
Sure, and if someone is standing still, they're probably doing something or looking at something.
Well, they're lining up and they're like, they're not in a particularly let me talk on the radio mood.
Yeah,
totally. So I think it came out pretty good. I'll post a, I think when they put it up online, I'll post a link on our page. I think people might enjoy it.
Yeah.
But so what did I do? I actually didn't really, you know, I just like walking around at that thing. I didn't play anything, but I didn't feel like, oh, that's a shame. Like, even I just can't handle lines.
Well, so the only thing that I was actually disappointed they didn't have there is I know in a couple of the PAXs in America, they have the new Zelda playable.
Yeah, oh, right. Okay. So
and
this
there was no sign of it here. They had like Mario Kart and shit.
So that's it. The Nintendo booth looked almost identical to how it did last year.
It probably was. They just
haven't, with the exception of like they had
Paper Mario,
that new Paper Mario game. People, like, they have Mario Kart 8 there. It came out like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
People are still lining up to play it.
Sure,
I guess
fun.
It's fun, yeah.
And guess they've got nothing else, so what are you going to do?
Did they have the new Pokemon even?
They probably had a video of it somewhere or something like
just
that.
It's just insane where everyone else is there. I mean, like you're saying, you know, even if it's only stuff that's coming out in a couple of months, at least it's stuff that's not out that you can't play.
Well, exactly.
Their strategy is to just clean out the fucking storage cupboard and just...
Well, I was thinking about this last night. It's the two options for Nintendo were not show up, which, hey, maybe that would have been fine.
Like, no, it wouldn't be, because you've got to have a presence.
But also, Nintendo's never going away. Like, people aren't forgetting about it.
I mean, you would have said that about Sega 20 years ago, though, you know, so...
Yeah, but the alternative is, the other one is, just show old games. Just be there.
The thing is, like, their booth, like, they have, like, a big screen. Like, they had a big kind of seating area where people would play competitive, like, Smash Brothers and stuff.
Yep.
So it's like, I thought, even, like, why not put the Switch trailer up every hour?
Yeah.
Like, why aren't they doing any, like, show some Zelda, just show some footage of it.
Totally.
It's out in March, you lunatics.
Yeah. It's so weird.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
I just thought it's just such a weird, again, whatever the strategy, quote unquote, is. I saw bits and pieces up on a big screen of Horizon.
Yeah.
What? Zero
Dawn. Zero Dawn.
Yeah. Very generic name. Last. It's difficult to remember.
Yeah.
Fuck, it looks sick. And even, like, I saw some people playing it on, they had a little area of it on the... on the PS Pro.
Oh, yeah.
It looks great on that. I mean, you know, it's not like I was watching it side by side with what it'll look like just on the PS4.
Yeah,
I imagine it's not. It can't be that much. I mean, it's just a little more clarity.
HDR stuff, I've heard there's a difference in. I've actually never seen a TV with HDR.
Me neither. Apparently the Sony has been doing some big, you know, media events and stuff for HDR and for the PS4 Pro, and they have had some side by side comparisons, and apparently, when you see an HDR TV with the PS4 Pro, it is like fucking amazing.
Well, and you can just see them with movies and stuff in JB or whatever. You know, you can go. I just have never bothered because I know I can't afford one. So.
I think that game looks. I think that game looks really great. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah.
Have you ever played any of the Killzone games? That's the people who are making this. Guerrilla Games.
Well, the Killzone games, like, the gameplay is fine, but they graphically have been pretty impressive.
They've always
impressive.
Looked great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they had one of those areas where you could go play it, but, you know, the lines were always full and it was always like an hour and a half, and I just don't have it in me. Like, I'm really interested in Gravity Rush 2, I think looks really cool, and they had a little setup where you could play that. There was literally one person on it. No line.
Yeah.
One person playing it, and I went, fuck this, I'm not waiting for this. Like, I don't have it in me. I just don't have it in me.
Yeah, I'm happy to just look over someone's shoulder and be like, oh, that's what the game will be like.
I just did that for a couple of minutes and then went, oh, that'll do. But, like, I don't know, this is my thing about that. Like, you know, whatever, I don't care because I didn't pay to get in or anything.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Like, I just think it's, you know, you want to go and you want to play stuff that's, you know, that's not out yet. That's, for me, that's would be a lot
that's
of what the appeal would be is going
thing.
For as a punter.
Yep.
So VR, Horizon, Final Fantasy, the new South Park game.
Oh, yeah.
Those are all the things that I saw that had huge, huge lines. And it's just like, why not, like, just set up more booths with them in it.
Yeah.
There's a comic book shop in the middle of the convention floor. Like, why does that need to be there? Like, I know because it's a money-making thing, but... It is just a shame that they can't just dedicate a bit more space and just have more units in there. And they'll still be, the lines will still be huge, but it just means you can get through more. When that's kind of one of the biggest points of the whole thing going as a punter, I just kind of think, like, man, if you'd paid like $160 to go, you'd spend your whole weekend in line.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems so weird.
And I feel like it's not quite as worth it as something like the actual San Diego Comic-Con where... you get to see a brand new trailer for a fucking huge film.
Yeah, totally.
It's, I don't know if it's you get the same
word. Well, especially in this country, too, it's like hard to get too excited about that stuff, but any kind of convention, because it's like, yeah, we're just getting, like, it's like, well, they're not going to show off the Switch. You're not going to be able to play
there's
the Switch.
There's no premieres or exclusives. Yeah.
Harrison Ford's not maybe showing up.
Yeah,
totally.
But the panels, I think, are kind of mostly pretty good.
Sure.
To me, that would be the main reason to go, would see the panels. And the fact that, I mean, you get to go see a cool comedy show. Hing's podcast, Dragon Friends, did an episode there.
He was like, doing like 10 different panels.
He was a busy little boy running around.
If we stop running our mouths off taking down packs on our podcast, we should do something there next year.
Yeah, totally. We totally should. But I thought it was... I'm going to do a complete 180 now and say, I thought the event was cool.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to tell this. I don't know if this person will like me telling it, but I'm going to go for it anyway.
Okay.
So I met a listener of the show on the floor.
Yes.
Was it James? Was it James?
Yeah, the goat.
The one? No. Like the a guy I met was called James.
Well, this is the bad part of the story. I can't remember his name. He snuck into the after party on Sunday night, and he said for drink tokens at this party they were just using Monopoly money. So him and his friend left and they went to Big W.
Fucking awesome.
Oh, that's great.
That is
bought
really
a copy
good.
Of Monopoly and just like when
just now, turned a profit.
Like, I think that's amazing for a lot of reasons, because for me that's a big difference between me and this guy. Like, I would be there, especially if I've snuck in, I would be there and I'd be going, hey, you know what? Imagine if you did this. It'd be so easy to do this. I would never actually... There's a big thing between that and taking that next step to actually go and do it.
Yeah.
Because also, you've snuck in. So you don't know for sure that you're going to then get back in.
Yeah.
Once, so
that's why you're going to be a fucking one house on Old Kent Road motherfucker for the rest of your life. Yeah. Whereas this guy, he is a Park Avenue Mayfair...
Because then imagine if you don't get let back in. You're just walking around with a Monopoly game like a fucking idiot.
Oh, what are we going to do tonight? Hey, we've got Monopoly. Everything's going to work out.
How much do you think... I like the idea that they're not smart enough to like bin the box and everything. Like, they're walking in with the box and the game like under their arm.
Yeah, they take a handful of like a little silver dog in a car out of their pocket.
That's just my thimble.
Yeah.
Because how much would Monopoly be like 50, 60 bucks?
I remember a while ago
thinking I'm going to go buy a bunch of board games and get really into it, and then being very surprised by actually how expensive they are.
Yeah, right.
You could get a cheap set of Monopoly probably.
I'm sure. I'd say 50 bucks. Which if you go...
It's usually the themed ones like the Star Wars Monopoly and whatever. Yep.
If you go halves with a friend, 25 each, you have three drinks at the thing, it's just paid for itself.
Yeah.
Plus,
anyway,
it's a great story. That's worth paying.
That's okay. That's okay to tell, right?
We'll cut out all of the stuff at the start.
Cut out all the name and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for listening, and thanks for coming to our gig.
Yeah, it was great to meet you.
Yeah. Sorry for
ratting you out.
Ratting you out on the internet.
Yeah.
I think Gravity. The little bit I saw of it, Gravity Rush 2 and Horizon are two that I'm really looking forward to. I think they look cool. Gravity Rush has a really cool art style that I just kind of is just. Exactly the sort of thing I like looking at, so I'm excited about that.
Sure.
Yep.
And I think Horizon's going to be really cool.
South Park you mentioned as well. That is coming out in
2017,
that's, actually.
South Park, The Fractured But Whole.
Mm. Yeah,
By the way, I don't get it. Have we talked about it at all? The new season of South Park is really good.
It's pretty good.
Okay, I don't think there's anything more to say about PAX. Did you play anything that you liked when you were there?
No, I didn't play anything. I did the same thing as you, just basically just looking over people's shoulders and going like, either... I will play this definitely in the future, or I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. Ben, you've been playing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You had heaps of free time, given that you didn't fucking leave you didn't venture down to the convention center over the weekend.
I will, if you're listening, Hing, still, the reason I didn't go is because I have a back injury and I'm still recovering. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right?
And what was
Jump
his,
off my dick,
And what
boys.
Was his name?
So yeah, I'm leading up to and including that weekend, I basically couldn't leave my apartment. It's going a bit stir crazy, so I just played a fuckload of video games.
Mm-hmm.
Civilization 6 is one that I dipped back into after I mentioned last week. I wasn't sure how I feel about it. I like it a lot now. I've put a lot more time into it, and yeah, it's great. I just had to come to grips with the new systems a bit better, and I'm really liking it. As far as a Civ game goes, it's great. I still prefer 5, but yeah, 6 is cool. It's got a lot of depth. It's got a lot of new systems, and I found that, with all that free time, I was happy to learn it. It wasn't like a it wasn't hard to come to grips with. Just took a bit of time. So yeah, I'm loving Civ 6. I recommend it.
And what's the vibe on it out in the world? Well received.
I believe well received. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are liking the changes. People are.
Old mate sitting there looking at his score on Metacritic going, Sid Meier's, you've done it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Giving himself a big old pat on the back.
Sid Meier, I looked this up.
Yeah, after last episode.
He wasn't even involved in designing. The lead designer is some guy called like Brad or something.
Oh, really?
The guy, he did the expansions for 5.
Right.
And now he's the lead designer on this
one. So this
one.
Brad guy wants to get his name
I'm
on
pretty
the
sure
title.
It wasn't Brad
He
as
can't,
well.
Though, because of fucking old Robin Williams is, you know, talking Sid Meier's into branding the whole thing.
Well, I think maybe Sid Meier was the guy who would, like, present it at, you know, conventions and things like that. He was the guy who would be the face of it.
Oh, and he designed the others.
Yeah.
But this guy, he's the new blood. He's come from the board game world.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For six.
For six, yeah.
I can see that. I can see how that... Yeah.
I want to say Brad Bird, but it's not Brad Bird.
But he's the director of The Incredibles.
And he took over the Mission Impossible series. That's why I'm thinking
that. That's one of those things, until you said that, just, you know, someone will just say, mention something and you weren't aware that it even existed until they said it, but of course it does. The board game world. Like, there's a board games industry.
I've
never thought of that as being someone's whole... like world that they occupy.
We know people who work in the industry. There's comedians who design board games that
we
know. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. But I'm also not that into that world. But,
I know the guy. I know the Monopoly guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Mr. Monopoly.
Craig Monopoly.
Craig. I think it's Brad.
Just a coincidence that his name is Monopoly. He got into it later in life.
Mm-hmm. Do you have heaps of lights? You get all the special editions of Monopoly?
No.
Sent to your fucking parents' house?
He actually really doesn't like me because he keeps saying, my name isn't Craig Monopoly and I'm nothing to do with Monopoly.
I want to be the dog. You never let me be the dog. What else? What else have you been playing?
So I picked up as part of the PS Plus subscription, one of the free games this month is Pumped BMX Plus.
Yes, a game which I have some form of iPhone version of.
Yeah.
And I spent an entire flight to Perth last year playing.
Yeah.
I like it.
I don't know if it's a great game.
How do you play? Because it seems very made for the touch screen.
Right.
In that you hold down and you flip and all that sort of stuff. It's a bit of a ski safari mechanic.
Right.
How does it work on the... with proper controllers?
Oh, it controls great. So it's a pretty simple game, but the thing I love the most about it is that the controls are very precise, and the only time you fuck up it's your fault. It's not the controls' fault. So it's just like you lean forward, you lean back, you hold down X to accelerate or to dive when you're in the air.
Yeah. Trials. It's like trials.
It's your trials control scheme, yeah. But it has
it reminds me a lot of like the cuz I went to a private school and we all had laptops and it reminds me of one of the simple Windows games that would go around the school.
Trials, that would have been.
Yeah.
Back in the day, because that was a Flash game originally and then they took it and you know, made proper ones for the old 360 there.
Yeah.
And this is a rip-off of that, I'm going to say.
Well, what it is a combination of Trials and your early Tony Hawk games.
Mm. Right.
So you use the L and the R triggers to, you know, change what you're going to do. So if you hold down like L1 and press left, you're going to do a certain trick.
Yeah.
Hold down L2, different trick. It's just a series
of levels.
It's
all about getting speed and then getting air and just knowing how much time you have in the air to pull off that trick
totally
before you fuck it up.
And each level has four... like challenges or goals, so do a certain trick or to get a certain amount of points that go up from easy to medium to hard as you complete them. There's 5 sets of levels, so there's a whole bunch of content. And yeah, just if you're like listening to a podcast or whatever, this is you just keep playing it. You just play it over and over and over.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Greg Larson, is constantly playing it. Every time I turn on my PlayStation, you can see the little Greg Larson is playing Pumped BMX Plus.
Yeah,
it's really addictive.
It was a perfect. It was like one of the few times I've done a flight to or from Perth and been that deep into something where I was like, didn't notice the amount of time that I'd been in the air.
Right.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of playing Tony Hawk 2 and just playing it over and over to get a certain score.
Yeah.
It's exactly that kind of mechanic.
I fucking love the Tony Hawk games, but this, because I saw you playing a bit of this last week.
Yeah.
I didn't actually try any, but it looks like shit.
The
graphic, like, it's obviously like a mobile game or whatever, and you can't judge it for that, but just the style of the graphics I do not like.
Well, I kind of do. Like, it has a variety of different, like, settings. Some will be in the desert, some in the snow or whatever, and I think it has a kind of a very simplistic, but yeah, you know, a pretty good art style. It's certainly not one that grates on me or anything.
It kind of did on me a little. Right. Just a bit, and I only watch you play a little bit of it.
Watch me like fail a level over and over, which is frustrating no matter what.
True,
is happening.
I don't know. There was something about it that was just very one of those things where you almost can't see the person who drew it. It just looks like a computer guessed at how to draw it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Obviously,
a bit DreamWorksy.
Yeah, a little more DreamWorks than Pixar.
Yeah, that's fair. But just in terms of a really addictive gameplay loop, it fucking nails it.
Did you ever play much of the Trials games?
I did. Yeah. I think I just played the early ones and didn't really dip back into them when they became real games. Maybe
I think just Trials HD was the first one. I played a lot of that and it was great and it did look like that.
Yeah.
And I think, because I haven't played one of those games in a while, but I think they've maybe fell off a little bit in their quality. Like, the most recent one was, I heard, not great, but I can't actually say that for sure myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm talking about something I don't know anything about.
I would say it's not a Trials game. It's not a get up here and go over here and break here and lever yourself over there. It is much more a...
Trick focus,
Tony Hawk, cool. Matt Hoffman BMX.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it's more about the momentum and getting air and doing tricks. And it's really good. I like it a lot. For a free game as well, I've put a lot of time into it.
Yeah, so. Exactly. What are you going to complain about for the price of free?
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine. No, it's good. It's good.
What else? You said you've gone back in on Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah, so yeah. I got bloody jack of Mafia 3. Didn't keep playing it. But because we'd spoken, I think, on the show and off the show as well, Tommy, about
both.
How...
We've conquered all platforms.
Yeah. How much we like Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I'm going to bloody reinstall it, because I bought it for the PS4, the Definitive Edition, and it is so much better than Mafia 3, it's as good as any Grand Theft Auto game.
Yeah, like, totally. I love the vibe of it. The acting is great. The combat system is really satisfying.
Yeah. So if
I will say it's hard to get back into, because when I first played through it, I'd gotten pretty far, and I just left it for like a month, and then I went back in and couldn't remember any of the combat button combinations.
Yep.
And just felt like, oh fuck, I think I've just left this a bit too long in between.
Did you go back and resume your old save?
Yeah.
So what I did, I think I did that once as well, and found myself in a similar position.
That's always difficult with virtually any game though, to go
shut
back
up,
to your
Nox.
Old. Whoa. Jeez. Sorry for contributing to the podcast.
Sorry. Sorry. Do you want some gum?
No. Oh. It's not going to fucking make up for it.
I was like, I feel really bad. I'm like, what can I do? This is all I have on me.
12
right
cent stick of gum there? That's all. That's all it'll take, right? Are you going to chew it while we're doing the podcast as well?
Yeah.
Fucking telling me to shut up and then starting to chew gum.
Is that that bad?
What you fucking turned into?
And you've got the headphones on. Does this sound bad?
Yes. I don't have headphones on. It sounds fucking stupid.
Yeah, you bloody better. So
it's going to be hard to come back to later, though, because you put it down for a while, and then you pick it up again later, and it's difficult to
shit. Remember the buttons.
What you should do is take a brand new stick of gum and start from the start, like I did with Sleeping Dogs. I just started the campaign,
the
whole
game. What you should do is
start.
Take a stick of gum and shove it up your
What's happened to you in the last, 40 seconds? So the company the development team who made Sleeping Dogs have recently had to shut down.
Yeah.
So there's not going to be a real sequel to it.
But didn't that happen ages? Isn't that like the game got made and then it just sort of sat there on the shelf for a while? We've talked about this
before.
Well,
that was a different group of people. That was meant to be a true crime game, right?
Yeah. I think this other company finished it off. So let's sing their praises after they've died. Let's eulogize them. It's such a good game. So when
I've
you do start from
it.
The start...
Should I go in with this definitive?
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
How much... Maybe it's gone up now, but on the eShop it won't. Like, I re-bought it recently on the PS4 because it was like $10 or something.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's still that cheap, but it's a good game. It's worth full price.
It's great.
So it starts off in media res. You're an undercover cop and you're doing a drug deal and the cops come. And so it starts off with you running away from the cops. It's a great start. It's really dynamic. It teaches you all of the movement stuff. So you do a lot of vaulting, climbing, a lot of acrobatic, kind of Assassin's Creed-ish kind of movement, which is really fun and really fluid. Then you get into a fight, and the melee system is a lot like the Arkham games. So it's, you know, punch, 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 counter, that kind of thing. Very fluid, very cool.
And that you can do these sick finishing moves with people,
yeah,
where you grab them and then stuff in the environment lights up that you can use.
Right.
So yeah, you can go and like smash their head into an exhaust fan and stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's, and or like, you know, put, there's like a roller door window thing where you can like,
yeah,
put them in and then slam the roller door on them. And it's fucking so satisfying.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And so it's an open world, and they've put those things everywhere.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that I found about this is like, yeah, the melee system's good, running around's fun, the cars are okay. Like, it's not Grand Theft Auto level driving mechanics.
Yeah.
It's better than Mafia 3.
Totally, yeah.
But what really makes this game really impressive and a lot better than something like Mafia 3 is the attention to detail in every aspect of it.
Yeah.
So the graphics, the design of the city.
The acting in the, yeah, script is so much better than Mafia, yeah, 3, I reckon.
Yeah.
Like that guy, I don't know who he is, who's the plays the main guy.
Yeah.
He's great.
I reckon it's better than Grand Theft Auto 5. Like,
yeah,
the writing is good and believable. It's like a great undercover cop story. It's just really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fine. I just talking about it now, I'm like, yeah, I've got it. Because I bought it a few months ago and played it for like an hour, and then I think it was like right before Uncharted came out or something, and I never quite went back all in on it. But yeah, and like it just that beginning thing that you were talking about, like it just, you know, there's no like lot, there's like one little sequence and then you kind of get the whole story and then you're in. Like,
yeah,
just,
yeah.
Like the early missions, there's no slow walk bullshit. There's,
yeah,
no like, you know, it's not that real staggered, forced, like setting you up. It just,
yeah,
does it really. You're in the game and you're learning the story as you're playing. It's not
totally
just like you sit there and watch a movie for 15 minutes.
Totally.
Like,
and even the writing in the cutscenes, it's subtle. It's not like, oh, where did you go? I went overseas and now I come back and now,
yeah,
I'm a criminal now. It's like, it's actually quite well written,
yeah,
and quite subtle. It doesn't treat you like an idiot. Which is, yeah,
yeah, and you're, what is it? You're like, you're an undercover cop and you get involved with the triads, and like,
yep,
one of the guy that you're working for, he like killed your sister or something?
Or it's either the,
oh no,
guy
she
you're
died
working
of a drug overdose,
yeah,
and he was like fucking her away.
Yes.
And so it's,
yeah,
like he's constantly like referring back to her.
Yeah, he's getting on your nerves.
Does he not know that you're the same, that it's you're her brother?
He's doing that at the start, then you reveal that you're her brother. He's,
yeah,
like, oh, sorry.
Spoilers.
But he's still the boss of you, so.
Yeah.
And you've got a mate who you grew up with who's in the gang, and so it's like, it's just, yeah, it's really,
yeah,
well,
he's
written,
funny. Like, sometimes those little sidekick characters are really annoying and shit, but he's,
yeah,
like, actually, like, a goofball but funny.
Yeah. So,
Nox,
yeah, it's,
give it a go.
All right, I will. Well, in the last week, I've been busy playing, not as much as I'd like. I haven't had a huge amount of time, but I played some Titanfall 2.
Yeah.
We went down to PAX, so I mean, that's going to,
yeah,
you know, that's taking,
yeah,
a,
yeah,
little time.
Like 4 hours. it was pretty easy to get down there, and if I hadn't gone, I would have felt pretty silly about it.
I mean, well, we live in a city that's got one of the like most easy-to-use public transport systems, and I believe there's a tram stop that services multiple lines right outside the exhibition
center.
Well,
and if you've got any form of injury, accessibility is a huge issue for people here, and they really do make every effort to get people... get people facilities if they need them for that sort of thing. Anyway, Titanfall 2, it's really, really good. I like it a lot, which I was actually kind of surprised by.
Sorry, I tuned out for a while. Titanfall 2.
yeah, Titanfall 2 is great.
It's been getting like pretty good reviews, right?
Yeah.
Like it's, yeah.
And it's super good. Like
Super Mario.
Every problem that the first one had basically has been addressed in it.
Okay.
Where, like, the first one didn't have a single player. This one has a great one.
Great.
Okay.
It's actually surprisingly good.
Yeah.
The multiplayer is, like, fast. Really clever about matching you up with people as well. Because especially living in Australia, it can be,
yeah,
kind of a fuck around to find people.
Yep.
So it lets you join these, like, networks that are these kind of, like, big... big groups that it will try and match you with first if any of them are available.
Right.
And then it will match you to, like, the data center that's closest to us is in Sydney.
Right.
And it's all just really smooth and quick and fun and inventive. What was that fucking noise? Did you hear that? Cut it out.
No.
I can't.
I wish people could have seen that. It looked like the face you'd make if like a bug flew into your mouth as you were talking. Except,
yeah,
there was no bug.
There was, yeah, no bug. It's just because this hay fever shit, the back of my throat is doing some fucked up shit today. It feels scratchy and then it's moving around like that. It's so fucking annoying.
I'm going to sample that at the start of the episode and at the end of the episode.
No, nobody will listen. It's disgusting.
Man.
That
was something else.
I really feel horrible today. Anyway, yeah, it's good. I don't want to talk about it anymore at risk of making another weird noise that a human mouth shouldn't make.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
No, it's really good.
What's the visual design? Because, like, one thing about Titanfall 1 that, like, it just failed to grab me. It wasn't distinctive at all. Like, the mechs were an interesting, you know, aspect.
But yeah.
I just was, like, a very boring kind of style.
There's subtle stuff in Titanfall 1 that I didn't notice at first that I actually grew to really like about the visual stuff. Like, there were these huge, towering alien Brachiosaurus things in one of the maps that I didn't notice until the third time I tried. You know, like...
Yeah.
And this is sort of the same thing where it's a little... subtle, but the detail is really, really intricate and well done. Like,
yeah,
it's all these like sort of smashed up. It's the thing is, like, in the future, people have gone to space. There's a big evil corporation and a bunch of basically farmers who are on the frontier planets who have joined together.
Sure, that's a sci-fi trope that's been around since like the 30s.
Yeah,
that's,
totally. That's cool. And it's that thing, and it's being done. In just a really confident way,
right?
Sort of where, like, all the little details surrounding it are what make it a lot more impressive than it could be with that sort of thing. Like, where it's that very natural type of like world building y story stuff,
right?
Where none of the characters explain shit to you because you live in this world, so of course you know what a Titan is,
right?
And so it's all done through absorbing the information rather than having it explicitly given to you.
Cool.
Which is so much better than the opposite thing. But yeah, the multiplayer is really fun, and it just fucking feels really cool to run along the sides of walls and then jump on the back of a Titan and rip out its battery or whatever it is.
Yeah, right. Sick.
Like, it feels really good. It's so tightly made. And it's partly because they ran some of those like betas and people went, this feels shit and that feels shit.
Right.
And then the people who've made it have gone, oh, okay, well, we'll change that.
Yeah, that's cool. Actually listened. Yeah, yeah, right.
And same with the progression from the first to the second one as well. I really, really like it. And it isn't for everyone because it's like a big shooter, multiplayer focused, jumping around thing, which people, I understandably, can be sick of now. And there's been a lot of them this year as well.
Yeah.
In particular, there's been Doom, and there's been like Battlefield last week is not that dissimilar. Call of Duty's out now as well, which I'm going to try for next week to talk about. So
I suspect that Call of Duty's world building won't be quite as subtle.
Yeah.
Hey, look, it's that soldier from Game of Thrones. He's a soldier now. He's from Game of Thrones.
Yep.
I really, really like it. And if you haven't gone in on any of the shooters, I reckon this might be the best one.
Really? Better than Battlefield 1?
Different a little bit, but like... They're both kind of different. I don't know. It's hard to say. The one great thing about this one as well is all the maps and stuff in the future are free. So Battlefield 1 kind of technically costs like $120.
If you
want to buy the... So, and this
I feel
one,
like Battlefield 1 might be the game that I saw that was like $199, like deluxe full
for
season pass.
Yeah, day one super motherfucker edition.
Yeah.
And okay, I'm going to go in on one of them before next week.
Okay.
So which one should I pick?
I don't know. It's tough because Battlefield 1 is also really good.
It's tough because EA are just a great company.
They've gotten so much better in the last few years.
Yeah.
I actually don't have a massive problem with them. Did you watch that Mass Effect Andromeda trailer speaking of them?
No. But I'm going to get that game no matter what.
The trailer was actually a little, made me less interested somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was sort of like the whole idea of it being this new galaxy and there's no humans there and you're exploring this uncharted territory. It made it look more like, oh no, there's an alien villain and he's evil and you're going to fight him.
Right. So, which, I mean, like, they do that well, so...
Yeah.
Like, Uncharted always has a fucking treasure at the end, like...
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But the treasure in the last one was family.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah.
You know. Family's the real treasure.
Family. Well, that's actually... Speaking of family, Mass Effect has always done a great job of building great characters.
Oh, yeah. And you've got your brother or your sister is one of the main characters now. Yeah, that's right. So, anyway...
Get Titanfall 2.
In terms of Titanfall 2 and Battlefield 1, they're both good. I guess
just pick one for me, your friend Tommy.
Go depending on which setting you find more appealing, which aesthetic,
the future or the past,
future robots or World War 1, because they both do their settings really well.
I wish there was one set in the present day, huh? YOLO.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there kind of isn't.
Maybe I'll play Titanfall. Maybe I'll try that.
It's good, and I reckon that one works better on consoles probably than Battlefield 1
okay,
does
sure,
too,
sure.
possibly.
Right.
So. Well, okay, what about this? I'm not big on multiplayer, so which one's got the better...
Titanfall 2.
Okay, cool.
Nice.
In great. That case, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to play it as well. Maybe EA can give
tough
us free
shit.
Copies.
Is there much else to go into? I mean, we got some more stuff written down, but maybe we should save that for the coming weeks.
Potentially, yeah. Think? Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to talk about this again if we talk about it now. So let's just talk about it now. The PS4 Pro is getting reviewed at the moment, and people are saying pretty much exactly what we expected. If you've got a PS4, it's not worth it. If you've got a heap of cash to spend and you want to get this in VR, do.
Yeah.
But it's not really a necessary thing to buy.
None of us are going to get one, so that's the last you'll hear about that.
what does it cost?
It's like $100 more than what the normal PS4 is now.
Right, is that 100 American dollars?
Yeah. I guess the ratio would be the same here. Like, it's more expensive than just buying a normal PS4 now.
Yeah. Well, it's like a PS4 and a half, right? Basically.
Yeah. Kind of. Something like that.
I read a review of the NES Classic Mini, which is about to come out.
Yeah.
A little mini replica of the NES that's got 30 games built into it.
Yeah.
The controller cord is 2 feet long.
What? Motherfucker, that's short.
Yeah. Like, your living room, I would say your couch is pretty close to the TV.
I would say
closer than the average
person. Yeah.
And even that wouldn't reach.
That's about 5 to 6 feet. You reckon 7 feet?
I think 7 feet.
You reckon a 7 foot tall man
seven
lying
foot
down?
From, 7 foot.
7 foot from television to eye.
No,
seven
I
or
reckon
eight
it's
feet.
Five.
Look at eyeball between Ben's eyes there and the TV.
Yeah, I am, and I think it's 5.
Well, then you have lost my trust.
Wow.
When it comes to when
this
it comes
is the
to,
turning point.
When it comes to judging distance, at the very least.
Really? Wow. I fucked your wife a year ago, and this is what makes
at
me lose
you
your trust.
At least you knew that you were right on top of her. But in this case, I don't know how you can believe that we are only 5 feet away from this. Are you insane?
How old were you in 1993?
I was 4. Anyway, the point of the thing, I think, is they want you to have it right up next to you or like on a coffee table, sort of like you're cross-legged in front of the TV. But I agree. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. That's stupid.
They just want to flog bloody cord extenders.
Yeah. That thing I have no interest in anyway, luckily.
I was watching the review and the one thing I read in the review was that the upscaling of it is upskirting.
Whoa.
It's better than the NES emulator on the Wii U virtual store. Like,
right.
it ends up looking really crisp and really cool. Which
okay.
I think, you know, if it's not too much, if I saw one in a shop, I had a bit of extra cash, I'd go in.
I agree. Yeah. Because I had a NES and I loved those games.
Yeah.
That's where my nostalgia
it
is.
It seems like a cool little novelty, and it does seem easier than having them on the Wii U console, virtual console.
It looks cool.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even mind just having it on a shelf.
The cool little replica controller, even though you've got to get a cord extender, is...
Yeah.
Which you can plug into a Wii controller, but just to play downloaded games on a Wii or a Wii U, apparently. So you can't plug it into a Wii controller and have it connect to the mini NES.
Oh.
But you can plug it into a Wii controller and play NES games that you've downloaded on
a Wii.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I get you. So, yeah, that looks cool. When's that? That's out pretty soon, right?
I think so,
all the pre-orders sold out.
Yeah,
but again,
right.
That'll make them a ton of cash.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, should we wrap it up?
Yeah, I want to mention a few things I've watched, just because they might be relevant to our audience.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah.
I went to the drive-in, and the most enjoyable thing about seeing Doctor Strange at the drive-in was being at the drive-in.
Yeah.
The movie is pretty dull.
Okay.
Like, it's got good visuals, and Benedict Cumberbatch is good.
Mm-hmm.
His American accent's pretty shit. It's very Dr. House.
Right.
It's very, like, meh, normal. But, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I kind of regret having paid to see it. It's so cookie cutter.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you expect it's going to be, but kind of worse as well.
Right. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of want that. I'm going to go see that, though, because, like, I tend to like the Marvel movies a lot more than I think you do generally.
Well,
anyway,
I kind of hated them for a while, and then I got...
And you really like the DC ones as well.
I love Batman vs. Superman.
You're a goddamn lunatic.
But I kind of turned around on Marvel. I went back and rewatched pretty much all of them, and like, they're good, they're fun, they're pretty fun. But yeah, this was kind of not. It was not great. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think I'm the exact opposite with you with this kind of movie, because you liked all the Batman versus Superman a lot. I remember after we left Suicide Squad, you got a Harley Quinn tattoo immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that?
You told me it was going to be, I was going to be damaged afterwards, but I went ahead and did it anyway.
The Joker had the damaged tattoo, you fucking idiot.
I know, I was cross-referenced. I was the.
By the way, a lot of Harley Quinns at PAX.
A lot of Harley Quinns all around. With Halloween as well.
But it's so interesting because it's like a movie that everyone agreed was shit. Now let's pay homage to it by dressing up like one of the characters.
Well, she was the best thing about it.
Yeah, I think people didn't think... I don't think anybody thought Margot Robbie's costume was shit.
Yes.
Basically.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, Doctor Strange, eh. I've been watching Westworld and I'm disappointed in it. Friend of the show. I don't know if she... I mean, she's technically a friend. Demi Lardner?
Who?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've met her a few times.
Yeah. I think she's trying stand up now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I was chatting to her. She kind of bailed me up at our gig last night.
And she hasn't learned that there's a line that exists.
I know. But she was just ranting at me about Westworld. But I completely agree. I think that Westworld appears smarter than it is, and it's actually quite disappointing. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to keep watching it, though. If you guys are going to go in on it, it's...
Yeah, I've been...
I can't be bothered starting a new TV show right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, don't start Westworld, then.
No.
Is my advice.
Oh, actually, yes, I can. I'm going to watch all of the new Planet Earth series.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man,
that video that went around yesterday of the snake and
I'm
the lizard.
I'm so pumped
fucking
to watch that
hell.
Whole thing.
Which, you know what? I saw a bunch of people share it going, oh, this is epic. And so it's a clip from it, and it's, what is it, a little lizard, and he outruns all these snakes that kind of have him at certain points.
Yeah, Galapagos Islands.
Free of their grasp. I watched it, and the whole way through, I was convinced it was a meme where there was going to be some really abrupt edit at the end. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I kind of was like, I don't know how. I was loving it, but I was like, I don't want to invest in this. And then it turns out to be a joke where just like fucking Tub Girl pops up at the very end.
Yeah. You know? Shrek starts rapping or something.
Yeah.
Fucking Tub Girl.
I don't know.
I've thought like, about Tub Girl in 12 years.
If you
I used to think about Tub Girl a lot.
Oh, yes. if you've not seen Planet Earth, it's a David Attenborough documentary series. It's amazing.
I've never seen the first one.
First one's amazing. It's 10 years old now or something?
Something like that, yeah.
You've got it right here.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a big fan.
The Blu-ray is worth it. It's the first Blu-ray I ever bought, and that and the Matrix box set.
Oh, yes.
Is it on any streaming
services? It is. It's on Netflix now.
Right. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I might watch it again then before the second.
Because
the second one is airing in Britain and the US, I think, in the US as well, but definitely in England at least. And there's no air date here yet.
Yeah.
Which is really annoying.
Yeah. But it was pretty revolutionary, the first series, when it came out. For like it was high def, and it was just like they embedded themselves in these certain scenarios around the world and just got really close with all these
animals. It's
species.
Like their flagship sort of documentary thing. The BBC is great with that anyway. And the difference is that they use their biggest, most expensive, most forward looking
dicks.
Most rigid and unreliable.
Yes.
Veiny.
Most definitely going to get the job done.
Cum squirting.
technology.
Yep.
And the first one, it was like high definition cameras and shit like that, where people still had to kind of lie in the jungle and wait for a cheetah to show up.
Yeah.
Difference with this one is that now, because cameras are so small but still great, drones, that sort of stuff, motion sensors, they've gotten really incredible looking shit.
Yeah. Put it this way, they used to, 10 years ago when they made the first season, they used to have to do it Tommy Dasilo and Adam Knox at PAX style. They had to like actually go and be
there.
They
were on the floor, gorilla style.
2016, they can do it Ben Vanel style. They can just sit at home watching it on Twitch, not even bothering to take their sweet little fanny off the couch for fucking an hour.
And it is worse.
All right, let's wrap it up there for this
done.
Week. So thanks for listening, everyone. Give us a review on iTunes. Share the show around if you know someone who might be into it.
Yep, thanks again
to
blogtyrant.com for sponsoring this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Blogtyrant.com. If you've got a blog, be a tyrant.
It's, if you have a blog, you can get more eyes on it. It's sort of blog
marketing tips,
strategies.
Yep,
they've been supporting the show for this previous couple of weeks, and we are very grateful to them for that.
Absolutely,
so thanks heaps to them.
Yeah.
So go show them how much you appreciate it.
Yeah.
Ben, what do we got?
@FilthyCastPod on Twitter. Filthy Casuals on Facebook, filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com if you'd like to send us a big long letter of appreciation.
Yeah, do it. Thanks again for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Well, I was going to say go check out The Weekly Planet if you've never heard of that before. That's the podcast we were talking about earlier. There might be people who listen to us who haven't listened to that. If you thought Ben was being pretty ridiculous about liking Batman versus Superman,
yeah,
listen to some people who agree, probably.
That's a great catchphrase that we have in here. Bye!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.